hell?
Everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Go!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
We are the New York Knicks.
I'm back.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K-S.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Hey everybody, it's the New York Knicks Podcast, episode 370, part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. I am Jay and with me is Mark. What's going on, Mark?
What's going on, Jay? It's been another interesting week in Knick World.
So, the Knicks seem like they are incapable of not being the laughingstock of the NBA for more than a week or two.
Yes, we are back to being laughingstock. Though today they beat the San Antonio Spurs, so all is well.
Is that well?
I don't know. Do you, we have anyhow? So, what guest more than anyone should we? This is the week that Charles Oakley got kicked out of the arena, and who do you think we got on the show today? Who do you think we got that will impress everyone? And it's going to talk about this incident with us. Who do you want more than anyone on the show?
I want John Rappaport on the show.
Okay, we're going to get John Rappaport. Yeah. Who else do you want? Who would be the number one person to talk about on the show? Who would be the biggest get we could get?
Joey Nicknuts?
No, a real get. Who would be a real good get?
Oh, a real get?
Yeah.
John Henson?
James Dolan?
James Dolan would be a real big get, yeah.
We didn't get him.
Okay.
Charles Oakley?
Yeah, that would be really good, too.
That'd be huge. That'd be huge.
Yeah.
We didn't get him.
Did we get anybody?
Yes. We got Byron House.
Byron House?
Yeah, Byron House. You want to talk to him?
I don't know who it is, but sure.
Yes. I'll go queue him up. Hang on. Let's ding, 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 ring, ring.
Byron?
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Good. Who are you?
I am a member of The Straight Shot. I play the bass.
I see you know your instruments as well as James knows the Knicks.
Yes. I am here to defend my main man, JD. He is in our band.
Yeah. I noticed that. So you're here to defend his actions against Charles Oakley.
Yes. Charles Oakley is a raging, dangerous alcoholic. Charles Oak should not be allowed.
Are you reading this?
Yes. Charles Oak.
Who wrote it?
Not, I don't ask questions. I just play the bass.
Are you even in the band?
I am. Look at Wikipedia. I am a member of the Straight Shot. Charles Oak has time and time again been dangerous to fans and been alcoholic-like.
James Dolan didn't even type it up for you? You have to read his handwriting? Sounds like you're struggling a little.
I will tell you things that Charles Oakley did that prove him to be a raging alcoholic.
So Charles Oakley is banned from MSG for life. Under the assumption that he is an angry alcoholic that somehow every single camera and cell phone in the stadium has yet to produce a video of.
Did you know Charles Oak gave away $72 million to Joke Noah?
I don't think that was Charles Oakley.
Did you know Charles Oak keeps he traded for a rose?
I think we're going to have to let you go.
Okay, I'll go back to playing the bass.
Thank you. Thank you for clearing everything up.
Was that helpful, Jack?
Yeah, that cleared everything up. I'm glad you got him on the show.
I thought it was going to get a good get for the show. I wish we could have gotten Oakley or Dolan on the show, but do you?
With bits like that, it's only a matter of time.
I have to say, Jay, I have a question.
Yeah,
is there anyone in your life, like friends, who are troubled, have issues?
Yeah,
yeah. So let's just pick a friend in your head. Don't have to actually mention who he is.
Okay.
Or she is. Mm-hmm. And that person has major issues. You feel like that person needs real help.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel the best way to help that person would be to go on national radio and call them out?
Oh, no better way. I mean, how are they going to get better unless they're embarrassed in front of millions of people?
Yeah. And do you think... you should have proof of their problems or just make wild allegations?
Oh, there's proof. He said up to 16 proofs will be revealed.
Wait, I don't remember that part of it.
He didn't say it on the radio. It came out afterwards.
Oh, up to 16. I missed that part of it. I heard the interview on ESPN Radio, which was insane.
Yeah, it was kind of insane.
I mean... First of all, you haven't been on the radio since you hired Phil Jackson. You feel like it's very – you want to stay in the background, not talk to the media.
He knew this was bad. He knew there was backlash for this.
I know, but you're not going to talk to the media for 3 years, and you come out to talk about it, to call Charles Oakley, one of the greatest players in Knicks history, an alcoholic, or possibly an alcoholic. Say he – made sexual and racist remarks to members of the Knicks security.
And apparently punched a chair.
I don't know what he seemed to be when they cut to it at the game. He seemed to be kind of just sitting there, and then the whole altercation started thereafter.
I mean, that's what I saw.
I mean, I didn't see the whole thing. I wasn't there. And maybe I'm thinking that there's no worse way he could have handled this.
The thing is, it's hard to believe. All right, here's the situation. All right, Dolan says Oakley came in and he was cursing and he was very abusive. He said the word abusive like 20 times.
Oh, yeah.
And he was harassing people. Oakley says he came in and he sat down and did absolutely nothing.
Someone's lying.
Not only that, one of these people is a madman. I mean, to have that little touch with reality. One of these two guys is completely insane, and that's worrisome.
And you don't know which one it is.
I have no idea which one it is, but one of them is completely out of their mind.
I just don't understand. And I made this joke, or real, like, not even a joke, on Twitter. I was like, the only reason seven people, security guards, should be approaching Oakley during the game is to escort him down to take over Rambis' job.
Yes.
I don't know the deal. I don't know if Oakley really has problems or not. But you should want your Nick greats involved in the organization.
But here's the deal. If he was being abusive, you send one guy over and you pull him aside and you say, if you don't knock it off, we're going to come back and we're going to escort you out. And then if he's still abusive, you kick him out. You don't come over with like 10 security guards. That just escalates the situation right away.
To play, like, let's play devil's advocate on this. I'll just to debate the other side of it.
Yeah.
I'll take Dolan's side. You take Charles Oakley's side, okay?
Okay.
Oakley says he bought the ticket himself.
Mm-hmm.
Totally fine, but he probably knew you were sitting right behind Dolan. You could watch the games. You could have an idea where Dolan sits. He knew he was going to sit right by Dolan.
Yeah.
That was my point. I don't know. I that was my
defense. Oh, well, he clearly did it then. Guilty as charged.
He clearly was there. He was not clearly. He could have been there to make comments to Dolan, and he got under Dolan's skin pretty fast. But he was purposely. He was trying to instigate with Dolan by being there.
That's possible. Yeah. I mean, we don't know. He could have said a couple things. Again, though, if he was saying things to Dolan, you don't come over with 12 security guards. One guy.
He could have also had one security guard warn him. Or maybe there was a warning ahead of time and we don't know about it.
I don't know. I just think you come over with one guy, you say first and final warning, say anything to Dolan again, you're out of here.
I'm going to say, I'm going to stop being on Dolan's side because there's not much to do, much more to this. I would say, if you're banishing a Nick legend from the from your arena, you're probably screwing this up.
Well, you know what this means.
What?
Free agency is already done. We're not getting any. Who's going to come here, really?
That's fine because I don't want anyone to come here because I want to rebuild.
No, that means we're going to overpay for like a fourth tier guy now because we got to spend all our extra money.
Unlike what we were doing previously? Who else? We were overpaid for Noah, Amari. We always overpay for guys.
Yeah, because nobody in the top tier wants to come here because of crap like this.
No one wants to come here because the team sucks. That's it. You have a good team. People go there. That's how free agency works. It doesn't matter if you play in the Mecca or you're playing. It doesn't matter where you play. If your team is really good, free agents will be intrigued to go there. Oklahoma City, who wants to live in Oklahoma City? Free agency time, some guys will be interested in going to play with Westbrook.
I think it's kind of like a chicken or the egg thing. We stink because nobody wants to come here. Nobody wants to come here because we stink.
No, because we stink because we don't develop a team. It's not because no one wants to come here. Outside of getting LeBron to come here or maybe Durant, generally you really need to build a team and then get guys to come here. You need a foundation. And you can't just say the foundation is KP and Hernan Gomez and we're done. We need more players. You can't have two guys on your entire roster that you drafted. It's got to be more guys.
Wait, we're not done?
You got to have more players. I guess Ron Baker also they drafted. Didn't draft him, but they signed him. They don't have many guys they drafted. You need a foundation that plays defense. You're playing. I know they beat the Spurs today. Celebration.
Undefeated since Hernan Gomez moved into the starting lineup.
Kawhi Leonard is a kind of like that's the kind of dream guy you want to develop. Kawhi Leonard, who can score like crazy and play crazy defense. That is the dream scenario of the kind of guy. And obviously, he's one of the best players in the NBA. But. I don't know. I'm looking at KP, Hernan Gomez. If you add a young point guard to that mix and build this team correctly, I feel like you have a nice thing to build on. They have three draft picks this year. Maybe you can get a decent player out of the second round. And if that first round pick ends up being really good, we can have something really good for the future.
Yeah.
Because Hernan Gomez looks pretty good. Did you see that play where he drove to the basket and did a reverse layup?
Yeah. I started the game off mad because the first two plays of the game was Hernan Gomez driving down the lane and Rose, first one he threw it over his head and the second one he threw it behind him at his feet. And I was like, is this really how we're going to do every play with Rose just throwing wild passes?
I tuned in I tuned in. It was the beginning of the second quarter, and I was shocked at the score because the Spurs had not hit 25 points yet, which was insane to me.
I was shocked the entire game because I kept waiting for that 15-4 run, and then the Knicks get disheartened, and the game's over, and it just never came.
No, especially at the end of the game, I kept waiting for the Knicks to blow it, and they obviously they did not blow it. It was a great game. It was a rarity for the Knicks. They played pretty well today,
unlike the rest of the games this week.
Yes.
So you were at the Denver game.
Before we go to the games, I want to talk about the second part of Dolan's interview. So the first part, we talked about Charles Oakley. The second part was about Phil Jackson. And his comments were more or less like, how is Phil Jackson doing? What do you think? Are you thinking about replacing him? And he just said, I gave him a 5-year deal, and that's it. I'm not interfering. I'm not commenting. I gave him a 5-year deal. That's it.
He did seem a little flustered when they say, how do you think he's doing so far?
Well, I mean, the team is bad, and he obviously realizes that they're bad. But he also said, if I interfere with this, then who's going to come here? I promised the guy 5 years. if I interfere, then no one's going to come here in the future. And no one's going to come here in the future because you just kicked a Nick Legend out of the arena. No one's going to come here because the team's a goddamn disaster. But what did you think of the – did you respect what he said about the Phil Jackson, even if you want Phil gone?
Yes and no, because he denied he got involved with Walsh. He denied he got involved with Isaiah. And then when they asked him about Phil, he said, well, I was very hands-on before, and I realized that that's not my skill set. So I was right. Like, all right, well, you just proved you were lying for the last 10 years.
Well, yes. But do you think he – I mean, he said, I didn't know whether – Phil was going to keep Mel out. I mean, I wonder
I don't
if that's
that
true.
Either.
I mean, we kind of thought that like part of the deal with getting Phil was that he would keep Mel out, right?
Yeah, but also I feel like it's a business. Dolan even said it's a business, and Melo sells tickets.
No, but I get that part of it. But do you feel like that was? I think we were under the belief. That it was Phil's, it was Dolan's call to keep Melo. But as I think about it, it could have very well just been Phil's call to keep Melo.
It could have been, but I don't know if I trust a word this guy says.
It's really hard to trust him, but I understand the idea. Like, I mean, Phil thought he could change Melo. He took Melo and, like, his weird tweets basically are about basically he thought he could change Melo, he couldn't change Melo. And if he really believed, the thing is, you give a guy $12 million a year, it sounds like the guy has pretty a lot of leverage.
The thing is, but I don't get this. 2 years ago, it was keep Melo at all costs. And Melo's game hasn't really changed in the last 2 years. He may be a slight step slower, but his scoring is about the same. His shooting percentage is about the same. All his stats are comparable to 2 years ago.
And he wasn't playing defense 2 years ago. That's basically...
He wasn't playing defense 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, I'm like, it wasn't nothing, not much has changed. Like, he's not that much worse of a player than he was 2 years ago.
Right, I think he's about the same, and Phil seems to want him out, which leaves me to believe maybe Dolan kind of forced his hand a little because, I mean, I could see if he's deteriorating and Phil wants him out, but since he's pretty much the same player, like, what changed in the last 2 years?
Well, I think what changed is that what he alludes to in his tweet, the idea that he thought he could change Melo... Like, he said, keep Melo at all costs because I could change him to be the player I want. I want him to be like Kobe and Jordan. He's not Kobe and Jordan. He's not changing. He's the same player he was 2 years ago, and that frustrates Phil.
You don't take an 11-year vet and say, change all your ways to what I want you to do.
Well,
you can do that with, like, KP. You can't do that with a guy who's been around for 10 years.
Well, they say you can you can always teach a new trick to an old dog, right? Is that the expression? yeah, no, I mean, it's insane. Like, the KP, Hernan Gomez, are guys, they're clay, you should mold. A guy's been in the league this long, you should already know. But I think he thought, I have 11 rings, I am this deity. He has not been around a deity before. He will listen to me, and I will be able to change him. It's basically the idea of, like, oh, I know, he's, like, 45 years old, and he's like, he's been single his whole life, and he's always, he has his wings, but I'll change him.
And then Phil tweeted afterwards, you know, people seem to have misunderstood my tweet. And I responded to him like, I can't imagine why. It was so clear and concise.
People seem to have misunderstood my tweet because it might as well have been in hieroglyphics.
Right, exactly.
How about you just release a statement that makes some goddamn sense?
Right.
Ding, twing, ling. Ding, twing. I'm going to reference the player. I coached the CPA. That's real helpful.
He's like the Dennis Miller of tweeters. Like, he tries to throw in, like, 45 references into every sentence, and he thinks he's way wittier than he is.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah. Who do you want more barred from Twitter? Phil Jackson or Trump?
Phil Jackson.
I'm convinced that was like his words through Charlie Rosen. I don't believe for a second that it was not Phil Jackson's words through Charlie Rosen. So
right.
But I'm going to go back and saying I respect what Dolan says that I gave him 5 years. That was what I gave to him, and I'm not interfering. I actually really respect that. And that was what I thought when he signed Phil Jackson. I thought that was the idea. We got someone who really knows basketball. I'm going to let him run the ship. He picked the wrong guy, but it was without the 2020 hindsight, it seemed like a reasonable idea.
Yeah. Speaking of firing your president too quickly.
Yes.
Did you hear about the Philly trade?
The Philly trade?
Yeah, they just made a trade to Chicago. I guess you didn't hear about it.
I did not hear about
it.
Oh,
get ready. Get ready.
Is this going to be good for Philly or bad for Philly? Well, just tell me the trade.
They're trading Okafor.
Okay.
And they are getting Michael Carter-Williams, Isaiah Cannon, and a second-round pick.
Michael Carter-Williams, isn't that the guy they drafted and traded away?
So is Isaiah Cannon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they didn't draft Isaiah Cannon, but they had him on the team.
I remember them having...
So they drafted a guy and then traded him to get back two players that they already had.
Holy crap. That Okafor pick was such... The thing is, Okafor was a consensus top five pick. So I
No, I get it, and I get drafting him. What I don't get is trading him for two players that you already dumped.
Yeah, like... Of all teams that really should have interfered, they should have just kept Hinkie and let him go with his plan. I as much as people hated his plan, it seemed like it... Well, actually, Embiid has not played the last, 2 weeks.
He tore a meniscus.
He has a minor tear in his meniscus. They say he probably does not need surgery.
Well, that's just great.
So they probably will amputate his leg later this week.
He's already missed, 25 games.
He's missed – well, they were resting him earlier in the year. They were resting him, every other night. So
and he still tore a meniscus.
He looks – the thing is, you don't even want to, I know there's there's a certain number of people out there who are going to say, great, I want to see bad things happen to Philly because they were tanking and they deserve bad things to happen and Beach shouldn't have worked out anyway. But the guy looks really good. I'd like him to stay healthy because he's a good player and you should add good players to the league. That's a really unfortunate thing if he does not have a career because he looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, he puts up crazy stats for the minutes he plays.
I think he averages 20 points a game in 3 minutes a game.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he plays, he plays 25 minutes a game?
Yeah.
His per 36s, and this is one case where the per 36s are interesting, are through the roof. They're some of the best per 36s from a rookie in the longest time.
Well, I mean, he's averaging over 20 in 25 minutes, so that means his per 36 is probably 35 points.
I'm going to look them up because they're actually this impressive. They're worth looking. I looked at them before, even though he barely plays anymore. So his per 36 are 20, almost 29 points a game, 3.5 blocks, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, he's actually averaging 20 points a game in 25 minutes, which is insane still.
Yeah.
And 2.5 blocks. The guy looks ferocious. So the Knicks played a couple games this week. I went to the Denver game on Friday night with my wife. I watched the Knicks give up 135 million points to the Nuggets. My wife read two really thick magazines while we were there. She was not so into basketball. It was game was a gift from my in-laws for my birthday coming up. And they're like, Mark, you'll want to suffer with your team in person. I was like, thank you. Appreciate that. It's always fun going to the games, even if the teams suck. I mean,
it was a good game.
It was a good game. I was in the fourth deck or whatever, fourth tier, all the way up there. And so everyone around me, every 10 minutes was free Oakley, fire Dolan. There was a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people around me just being wait, why aren't they playing defense? How did that guy get so open? The guy next to me was there was one play where the guy, it was in the first quarter or end of first quarter where he's the guy in the Nuggets literally thought play had stopped because he was so open and then just dunked the ball. And he was like, I wish we could DVR the play and, like, rewind if I – what the hell happened? Because I missed how the guy got so unbelievably open.
did you see the other trade that just happened?
The other trade – I know what the other trade
– It was Denver-Portland.
Denver-Portland. So I don't understand that trade either. So they traded away one of the Plumlees.
Yeah, who was their starting center.
Which is fine. I mean, he was not lighting the world on fire.
No, he was doing decent on my fantasy team.
Anyway, he's not lighting the world on fire. They got a first round pick back from the Nuggets.
Yeah, I just don't.
Nurik. What's his name?
Nurkic.
Nurkic, who people think has some talent, right?
Apparently, he's ridiculously bad on defense.
Yeah, so they got him back, but the bigger gain from the trade is getting the first round pick.
Yeah,
the Nuggets are pretty mediocre, so this is a pretty good first round pick. I think centers are becoming less and less valued in the league.
Yeah, I don't get why you trade your starting center for a center that, like, Denver did not like at all. Like, he was out of the rotation pretty much.
No, I understand. I think the first round pick was the point of the trade.
So I guess even though they're in ninth and they're like a half a game out of eighth, they're just saying screw it for the season.
Who's their backup center?
Festus Ezeli.
I guess maybe they're giving Ezeli more minutes. Maybe they just weren't impressed with the production they were getting from Plumlee.
I guess.
I mean, they could just say, "Hey, we're in ninth place. We're not like Plumlee's not like setting the world on fire. We're probably better off. We'll give Ezeli more playing time. This guy Nurk will work. Maybe we can make him better, and we can draft. Now we can get into the draft. Basically, I think they have. They have three picks. I know they have two. They have their pick. Now they have the Denver pick. And
well, the Denver's pick was Memphis's pick.
Memphis's pick. Okay. Well, it's Memphis's pick. It's still okay. You're still in the middle of the first round. There, you have two picks in the first round, and then they. Isn't there a third pick they get?
That I'm not sure of.
I think they have a protected pick.
I don't know. I just thought it was strange to dump your starting center, unless they think. I don't know. I guess they don't care about defense. I mean, Nurkic has good offense.
How good is Plumlee on defense?
I'm not sure.
Portland's defense is not that great.
I don't know.
I mean, they need to. You have two fantastic guards. They're trying to find a better way to build. Maybe they have a different. I don't know what Portland's going to do, but I don't necessarily think. I think you're the ninth seed, and maybe you're like, hey, we might be able to do better with a couple more picks in the first round draft. Let's go with that instead and try to rebuild around these guys a little better.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's crazy. It makes more sense than trading Okafor for like Carter.
I don't know. I thought that trade was hilarious.
That's a weird trade. I don't see how Carter Williams makes. Carter Williams wasn't exactly setting the world on fire on the Chicago.
No.
He didn't look that good.
I don't know what they're doing anymore. I don't think Hinkie would have gotten two guys back that they already had.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, Hinkie got rid of them. I'm pretty sure Hinkie wasn't a fan of those guys.
Yeah.
So they got the Knicks got their asses handed to them against the Clippers and against the Lakers too.
Yeah.
So should we be should we be happy? So they lost to the Lakers, they lost to the Clippers, they lost to the Nuggets, but we beat one of the best teams in the NBA.
That's just a total Knicks stat line.
I mean it's just almost bizarre. I mean, not even almost, it's completely bizarre. There's nothing. You give 131 points to the Nuggets and then the Spurs get 90.
Yeah, I mean, the Spurs missed a lot of shots they don't normally miss, but it's still crazy that happened.
No, it's completely. I mean, they gave 119 to the Clippers, 121 to the Lakers. The Knicks were just like giving up points like they were pinball, like they were. Like, it was like a pinball machine against them.
Hernan Gomez, man.
First of all, Hernan Gomez, I love seeing Hernan Gomez and KP playing together. That KP, I am fine with him not playing center. You put him at the four with Hernan Gomez, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, because KP got stomped at the five against Denver.
He just wasn't looking that good. He was not looking that good. Someone in Facebook, actually, I'll just read this Facebook question, not to jump ahead of the questions, but it was this. I was looking for this question, and it was an amazing question because I didn't realize this. So Dennis writes on Facebook for our Facebook questions. Greetings from Germany. Question for Mark. Who would you draft instead of Early? You remember Clay Anthony Early? He was picked 34th. I'm going to read you the picks that were after him and see if you can figure out who he's thinking of.
Oh, Jesus. This is going to depress me, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. 35 was Jarnell Stokes, which Utah, I don't know if he's in the league anymore. 36 is Milwaukee, Johnny O'Brien. Not sure if he's in the league. 37, DeAndre Daniels from Toronto. 38, Spencer Dwindle. Dinwindle. 39,
he's playing.
What's up?
He's playing.
Okay, yeah. 39, Jeremy Grant. Jeremiah Grant, Grant's brother. 40, Minnesota. Glenn Robinson III. 41, Denver. Jokic.
Oh, God. I didn't know Jokic was that far.
Yeah. 40, yeah. And what did he put up, 40 points on Friday night against the Knicks?
And this is why you keep your second-round draft picks.
Holy. Well, we had one. We just drafted the wrong guy. We should only draft European guys.
No, I know. I know we had one that year, but that was
I know. No, the whole point is that you can find these guys in the second round. Jokic looks really, really good.
He does.
Someone made a comment. They were like, isn't Jokic right now what we want KP to become?
Pretty much.
Jokic, he just beat the crap out of KP. Like he would just go around KP every time KP was guarding him. Not like just like KP, they'd be near. Like, he would be like back to the basket, doing a couple post up moves, and always go around KP and then score.
Yeah.
And they got him on the pick and roll. He got 40. He looks really good.
He's going to be good. You could see why they dumped Nurkic and said we're good.
Yeah. No, I mean that makes sense. I mean. Is it Jokic, or how do you pronounce it?
Plus, it's too confusing having Nurkic and Jokic on the same team.
I mean, I was watching one of the games. What, they were playing them earlier in the year before. I understood who they were. I understood they were two separate people the way they were talking about it. They were like, Nurkic and Jokic. I'm like, can you get real names? I can't pronounce any of this crap. I can't follow what the hell you're talking about. They're like, we can't play Jokic with Nurkic. And I'm like, what? What? But yeah, Jokic looks – he looks – awesome. That's so depressing that he won 7 picks after Early.
I mean,
all the other teams pass on. I mean, if you look, the thing is, like, if you redrafted, Jokic would be a top 5 pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I'm not remembering who went in that draft ahead of, but, like, obviously, it's just like, I mean, Isaiah Thomas was the last pick in the NBA draft, and he probably, if you redraft that draft, he should be the number 1 pick in that draft.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who else was in the draft. I feel like that's an exaggeration, but I know what you're saying.
You don't think so? I guarantee if I look up Isaiah Thomas's draft class, you know he was the last pick in the draft, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You think there's anyone drafted in his year that was better than him?
I don't remember who else was drafted in that year.
Why don't you remember this? I don't remember what year he was drafted. He was drafted by the Kings, who are morons. 2011 draft. Okay, let's look up the 2011 NBA draft. So they had also ESPN Boston had a who's better, Isaiah Thomas, the current one, or Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas?
I know. It's like, come on.
Oh, God, why do you ask those idiotic questions?
I mean, that's somebody who was just too young to have watched Isaiah Thomas. As much as we hate him as a Knicks guy, he was ridiculously good.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Isaiah Thomas being the number 2 guy in the draft. Actually, number 3 guy. Now looking at the draft, Kyrie Irving was number 1 in that draft,
mm-hmm.
And he arguably, if you redrafted, he'd be number 2 because Kawhi Leonard was the 15th pick in the draft, and Kawhi Leonard would be the number 1 pick in that draft.
Yeah,
but I don't think anyone else here. Tristan Thompson's not gonna go over him. There's no one else here that would go over. Jimmy Butler's here, but I think I'd probably take Isaiah Thomas over Jimmy Butler.
Of course, the Spurs would get the best guy in the draft at 15.
I mean, it's just amazing. The guy, like, by pick 60th in the draft, was one of the best players in the draft.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, the Spurs have done it also. Like, all of their picks, like, Parker was in a high pick. Ginobili was a second rounder.
Mm-hmm.
That's outside what they do. What did you say?
That's what they do.
Yeah. I mean, when you have to find talent, it's kind of important.
Moving on.
Moving on. Is there anything else you want to say about the Laker game? The Laker game was the other utter travesty. And the Clippers game is when the Oakley got kicked out, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what was more of a travesty, how they played against the Lakers or the kicking out a Nick legend during the Clippers game.
So basically, we just had nothing. But other than the Spurs game, it was just a bunch of traumatic stuff.
Yeah, I joked. I tweeted at the Denver game. At the Knicks were up at the end of the half. I was like, "Great half of the Knicks, up by two at the half, and not a single Knicks legend was kicked out." Did you see also the what James Dolan did today? He had like an old timers game at the arena.
Of course,
he invited. In attendance with sitting with James Dolan was Latrell Sprewell, Bill Bradley, Bernard King, Larry Johnson, Gerald Wilkins, Kenny Walker, Herb Williams, John Wallace, Vin Baker. Did you remember Vin Baker was a Knick?
No, that's ridiculous. That's like insulting.
Yeah. They had a good poster. They had a good headline. It was James Dolan brought several ex-Knicks, but not the concept of shame to Sunday's game.
I mean, obviously Oakley should have been there. Larry Johnson was like... Was he on the Knicks for like 3 years? Come on.
Also, there's a text. So someone said on Twitter, there's a text from Vin Baker. He said, Dolan called me sounding really sad, asking me if I would come sit with him. Hadn't spoken to him in 15 years.
That's a real thing?
This guy, Jordan Schultz, who I don't know who he is, but he's actually verified on Twitter, so maybe it's real. But he said this is what Vin Baker texted him and told him.
See, this is why I'm more leaning toward Oakley's side on this. Dolan's so shady.
I mean, the thing is, he hasn't... I guess Patrick Ewing wasn't invited.
Well, Patrick Ewing is an assistant coach.
Yeah, that's true. He's not going
to
come.
Hey, guys, I'm not going to coach this game because I have to wave my hand during halftime at a Knicks game.
Do you think it's ridiculous that Patrick Ewing doesn't have a job with the Knicks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so many lesser Knicks are getting jobs. I mean, come on, Houston.
But I guess he doesn't want to be an assistant coach, so like it's like you want him as a coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm a head coach.
Look at our last like five coaches. Of course I'd rather Ewing.
Here's a question for you. So the Miami Heat started the year off horribly, and now they are on an epic streak.
Yeah,
right?
Philly just ended it. They won 12 in a row.
I saw that. They won 12 in a row. Now they're ahead of the Knicks now. How would you feel if the Knicks pulled off starting with the victory against the Spurs, they pulled off a streak like that. They won the next 12 games.
Pissed.
Well, if you're a Miami Heat fan, are you pissed?
No, but you have some young pieces on the Heat.
We have some young pieces. We have a Hernan Gomez, KP. Like, what if the team just starts gelling? Hernan Gomez and KP get on fire. You have Justin Holley starts playing well. The guys,
nope.
Everyone starts playing well.
No. Here's why.
Here's why.
Our backcourt is a mess. We need one of those point guards in the draft. Rose isn't going to do it. Jennings isn't going to do it. We need, and I don't want to spend $20 million on like a 30-year-old George Hill or 29-year-old Jeff Teague.
George Hill's calling in. He says he'll take $25 million.
Exactly. So... I don't want to overpay for a guy who's just about to leave his prime. I want one of those young point guards. I want them to develop with Porzingis and Hernan Gomez. And that win streak would kill those chances. Right now, we are three games out of a top four pick, and there's four really good point guards in this draft.
Is there any chance that the next point guard next year is not going to be George Hill or Jeff Teague?
No.
They're like the ultimate guys for them to get.
You know, they're not going to go on a 12-game winning streak, but they are going to go on like a 6 or 7 game win streak just to get like the 8th or 9th pick.
They're playing Oklahoma next and Cleveland after that.
Yeah, it might not be this week, but it's coming.
The schedule looks, I am shocked they won today. The schedule is looking pretty good for tanking. If you got what's coming up, you got
February's terrible. March doesn't look that bad, but
yeah,
February's
Thunder
terrible.
And the Cavs, then the Sixers who are tough, but they should be able to beat the Sixers. Or maybe not. Who the hell knows? Then the Raptors, it's tough. Magic, the Magic always play the Knicks tough. The Sixers again, the Warriors, the Magic, the Bucks. It's not an easy schedule for the Knicks. So here's a question for you. I think we both agree we want Melo traded because we want the team to rebuild, yada, yada, yada. So one of the arguments against Melo being traded, and a lot of people throw this out, is they say Melo is really good for KP's development, and you trade Melo, suddenly everything falls on KP's shoulders, and that's going to be bad for his development. Do you think Melo is good for KP's development?
I mean, offensively, yes. Melo takes a lot of attention away from KP. So KP does get a lot more open opportunities than he would. As far as mentoring, he's not a very vocal leader, and he doesn't put in effort really on defense. So those are negative qualities that you don't want him picking up. So I think there's pluses and minuses. I don't think it would be the end of the world if KP's covered a little more heavily. I mean, I think a lot more of the problem of KP's development is the fact that we don't have point guards that are good enough to get these guys open on a, you know, on a regular basis.
I mean, I feel like it can't really help us. On the positive, you're right. He draws some attention away from KP. On the negative side, he also, when he draws, he does a lot of ISO stuff where KP's just left out of the play. You kind of want a young guy to start getting the ball fed to him more. But KP gets a lot of shots. I'm not saying he doesn't get enough shots. KP has had, he looked good today. He's looked good a couple times. He's had one or two good games recently. But generally, last month or so, he's been pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
How is this good? So I don't understand how Melo being here is helping him if KP's has such a crap streak.
That is also true.
It just the facts on like the actual facts are going on right now is KP's not playing that well. Looks kind of low. He had played well today, but he's been looking generally lost on defense. You see, he's been one of the big problems on defense, which him watching Melo doesn't help. And then on offense, he seems like he's having trouble fitting in. And he says, look, everyone's out for their own, on themselves, on offense. I'm not saying this is Melo's fault, but there's no evidence here that he's being so helped by Melo. Like, I feel like his numbers wouldn't be that different if Melo wasn't here.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be too different.
And when a lot of times the Knicks, he's played his best basketball lately, is when Melo's off the court and he's playing with the second unit.
Well, I was just about to say, if Melo leaves, there seems to be a lot more ball movement when Melo's not around, which could also lead to more open shots. I mean, Porzingis seems like when he knows the ball's moving around, he makes a lot more cuts and does different things instead of just standing at the three-point line.
And not just saying Melo has to go, Rose has to go also. I think these guys just aren't – the idea these veterans are going to really take the pressure off him and, like, help him, I think it's run its course. Move on from these guys. Build Hernan Gomez and Porzingis. They're your rocks. You got to build around them and just build a team. You can't go, I need guys that are going to build around Melo and then I'll build around KP later. You got to get guys that are going to complement these guys now.
Right. You need a group of guys that are close to the same age.
Same age and guys that complement their skill set. Like, you could have a point guard that's a little bit older as long as he complements the skill set of these guys.
Yeah.
I am kind of moving towards the point we talked about last show that I wouldn't mind having Jennings back. I feel like Jennings. He's a frustrating player, but he's not a bad like backup point guard while you're developing another guy.
He's a right 15 to 20 minutes in a supporting role. I don't want to see him with a bigger role, but in a 15 to 20 minutes, he's fine. He gets some assists.
Are you fine if the Knicks say, Knicks, get a high pick, draft one of these point guards we all are interested in, and then say, that point guard coming in is going to be your backup point guard, and Jennings is going to be our starter, and then when the guy's ready, he'll take over the starting job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad. I feel like Jennings would not be. He's more pass first. He wouldn't be he's not a bad veteran to learn some stuff from.
He's not a good starting point guard, but I'd rather that and have that young point guard than having Rose and Jennings, because I don't think Rose is good for this team at all.
No, Rose is. Except for outside of his ability to drive to the lane, they were commenting on the game. They were like, if you were watching, they were saying, like, we just don't understand why Rose can't draw fouls. Like, that's the biggest thing that's left out of his game beyond his defense is on offense. He needs to be able to draw fouls when he drives to the basket because that would really help the team beyond distributing the ball. Like, why does everyone else that drives to the basket gets fouls? Why doesn't Rose get any fouls? I understand he tries to avoid contact, I guess, which makes sense.
I don't know. The fact that he's not distributing the ball more is the bigger problem.
Well, if he drew fouls, that would be very helpful because you draw fouls, you get the other team's players off the court, and it's always helpful to draw fouls. As I've seen time and time again, when the guys draw fouls against the Knicks, it seems to help them beat the Knicks.
Yeah.
Melo's good at drawing fouls. KP should be better at it. Rose is horrible at it. Okay. Do you want to start doing questions?
Yeah. Before we do questions, let's give a shout out to our newest sponsor, GlassesUSA.com.
Go on.
So GlassesUSA.com, that we have a special promotion code, Almighty, A-L-M-I-G-H-T-Y. You get 55% off any pair of glasses at checkout. So GlassesUSA.com offers prescription glasses. They have their frames, including lenses, start at $48. Free wow. prescription lenses are included. And they have a huge selection, 2,500 different styles, designer brands. They have the same quality as retail. And you could try on any pair by uploading your photo and importing it to Facebook. And they have this little app where it like puts the glasses on your face on the picture that you uploaded, see how you look in them, which I thought was really cool.
Not to spend too much time on this ad, but $48 for glasses plus frames is an amazing price.
It is.
As a glasses wearer, I understand they're usually much more expensive. I thought Warby Parker was amazing because it was $100, because usually it's like $200 or $300. But
yeah, I think I paid $125 or $150 at Warby Parker.
Yeah. $48 is pretty amazing.
Yeah. So glassesusa.com, code almighty.
Do you think if I get a new pair of glasses from Glasses USA, I could see how much of a disaster the Knicks are?
Maybe you could see what the problem is on defense.
Yeah. Anyway, next time I'm going to get glasses, I'm going to use our promo code. What was our promo code, Jay?
Almighty.
Okay, let's do some questions.
GlassesUSA.com.
Yes.
All right, nyknickspodcast@gmail.com. Steven's going to be so mad.
Steven, our resident resident Canadian who's a huge Toronto fan and a huge fan of the tank with Philly, trust the process, said that we're going to start doing live reads and their whole show is going to be commercials and we're sellouts. He said our show is a disaster. Our show is really bad. We don't deserve to do commercials, which is really a nice thing to say to us.
Show
is
anyway. Ruined, right? That was the worst. I mean, the show's ruined now, right?
Yeah, that was. I mean, like having to sit through an hour plus show and hitting one live read, God forbid.
Oh my goodness, I don't know how people survive.
Okay,
I was listening to ESPN Radio the other day.
We will never do a second live read. There's just one live read at the show.
I was listening to ESPN Radio.
Yeah,
there is about 7 minutes of ads for every 1 minute of content.
So ESPN, yeah,
I couldn't even handle it.
If you catch it at the right moment, you'll have some content. The best way to really listen to ESPN Radio is to like just download the podcast, whatever show it is, and then you can get it without 8 million commercials. They have some, but it's you could just fast through the commercials.
When I turned it on, they had like a clip montage promoting their other shows. Then they had actual ads. Then they went on the air and they did a live read. And then they answered one phone call question with a one sentence answer, and then they went back to more commercials.
What's your favorite? So, what are your favorite ESPN or WFAN? They're the sports talk radio shows here. What are your favorite shows for listening to sports?
I don't have one.
Is there any you listen to?
No.
No?
Because of that, every time I go on, that was literally it was about 10 minutes, and I heard them answer one question.
Who was the guy in the middle of the night that was pretty good?
Robin Lundberg?
Yeah, I used to listen to Lundberg.
Yeah, I liked him
He got a co-host, and then I used to download his podcast, but his co-host was terrible. And it was like Michael, the son of the guy that does the Mike and Mike guy, Mike Golick Jr. He's horrible. And he used to be Lundberg used to be just New York sports. Now he's everywhere. It's just not as good of a show. Like, yeah. He has to dump his sidekick. I listened to Han and Humpty I like. They're pretty good. And they added Chris Canty, who's fine. Like they added him. I don't know why they added him, but the show's still good. And I like Dave Rothberg.
Okay.
I don't know. Hey, it's whatever. Tell us who you like out there, listeners. Okay.
Spiros writes, hey, guys, I think we make the playoffs just barely, but still, what's the point? First round exit and probably a sweep. I would rather tank the rest of the season. What do you guys think?
I would be... Well, first of all, they're going to try to make a run for making the playoffs because that's what the Knicks do. But I would be shocked if they make the playoffs.
It's an uphill battle at this point.
I just don't see how they're going to make the playoffs. Like, if you look at this, who do they have to – so right now they are They are 3.5 games out of the eighth seed, which doesn't sound so ridiculous. The Pistons are in the eighth seed, but you have to jump over Milwaukee, Miami, and Charlotte. And also, the Pistons are 3 games under. You have to think the eighth seed is probably going to be – I mean, the Knicks have to play – they're 10 games under 500. You have to think they have to play, like, what, 5 or 6 games over 500 the rest of the way?
Yeah, the thing is they have to pass 4 other teams. That's the
– they have to pass 4 other teams and play the best basketball they've played the entire season.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem that realistic to me. Versus going the other direction, Philly, Orlando. They could catch Philly and Orlando on the other side of things. And Sacramento, Dallas, New Orleans, Minnesota. All those teams are within reason to catch in the tank side of things.
Do you know Noah's missed about 25 games already?
Holy crap.
I mean, not that I'm like heartbroken that he's not playing, but it's just depressing knowing that we got 3 more years and he can't even play in his first year.
I mean, and the thing is, in some respect, I'm glad he's out because I feel like the team is just better off not having him on the court.
Well, I mean,
he takes minutes away from Hernan Gomez, so.
Hernan Gomez probably wouldn't be starting at this point in the season if Noah was playing anything resembling a starting center.
Just make him an overpaid defensive coach. Like, just give him an assistant coach job. Just say he's done with the NBA and just go, like, we're paying you this, whatever. Our staff's – like, we don't know how to spend money, but, like, you just can't play him. I mean, I guess he's – the thing is Noah's not – Noah can play basketball. He's just not very good anymore.
He's very close to being washed.
He can play he's, like, he can get some rebounds. He can distribute somewhat. He can set some picks. He can have some okay games. It's like I don't think what he produces now is that much better than what you get out of Kyle Quinn, and I don't think it's better than what you get out of Hernan Gomez. Hernan Gomez is a world better on offense than him. And the defense, Noah's defense is just not that good anymore.
No, it's not. He's not really doing much on defense, and it's becoming a huge problem because if you're not going to be good on offense,
so here's what
on
I
defense,
don't understand
and you're
about
playing no offense, like you're not doing anything.
Here's what I understand about Noah. How did he drop off this fast? Because last year, he was
averaging 4 points a game.
So the year before, though,
averaging
he just
7.
So wait, last 2 years, he looked really washed up?
Yeah.
So he's not falling off at all. He's exactly what you should expect when you signed him.
Yes. He had fallen off a cliff already.
Oh, my God.
Did you honestly think he was good the last 2 years?
No, I was just kidding, John.
Oh, okay.
We were talking about how bad when we signed him. I said, I don't understand. He looked washed up the last 2 years.
Okay.
It's bizarre. I'm trying to think of what player would be like giving a contract to that would be like just as insane right now.
Do you think Phil was like, holy crap, I could have looked up his stats online?
They don't have that online.
What is this, some magical wizardry?
I'm going to be online somewhere. They're going to give it the internet. The what?
Sam writes, what's up, guys? Why can't Melo play like Olympic Melo all the time? I remember this Pacers game at the Garden a few months ago when he had 37 points off catch and shoots and no isolations. Why can't he do that all the time? Does he not trust his teammates? I think catch and shoot Melo, Olympic Melo, can still be a top 10 player in the league. I think getting CP3 would make him play like Olympic Melo because CP3 will have the ball all the time. It would help KP, too, having a pass-first point guard instead of tunnel vision Rose. In my opinion, I don't think Melo will change until he realizes that it's not 2008, 2009 anymore, and that he has to take a back seat. Also, what was Phil serious about? Was Phil serious about the going thing?
The what thing?
You know how he tweeted, how's it going with a K?
Oh, I missed that.
That was like one of his first tweets, like when he was saying the 3-point line doesn't matter, and then Golden State lost the game, and he wrote, how's it going? But instead of a G at the end, he had a K. And then they went on to win the championship.
Oh, I forgot about that. I don't even know what I don't understand why people were confused. I made a very clear
The problem is Melo's supporting cast for the most part stinks. And you have on the Olympic team, everyone on the court is drawing attention away from Melo. So he can do his thing. I mean, who's a huge offensive threat on the Knicks right now? Just Melo.
I mean, KP and Hernan Gomez are okay, and like Rose gets the basket.
Exactly, they're okay.
The Olympic team. Of course, he trusts his play. He trusts everyone, and he has to defer to guys because they're all Olympic quality players. Like, he just doesn't trust his teammates that well. and he thinks that he needs to be the center point, versus on the Olympics, he understands he doesn't need to be like, because that doesn't need to be alpha mellow, because you got the guys on the team that are just so good.
Yeah.
And also, his defense doesn't stand out on the Olympic team because he doesn't have to play as good a defense. And to be a top 10 player, he's got to play better defense. And it's the thing about Melo, there's two kinds of Melo as far as defense. If the guy is near him and he's just guarding that guy straight up, Melo plays fine defense. Or if the guy is just, whatever reason, back to the basket kind of player, or just not really like, if a guy's not running around the court, Melo can play adequate defense. It's that when they run a pick and roll, or the guy stands outside the 3-point line, or he just doesn't feel like guarding the guy. Those are the kind of things that drive you insane about him.
Yeah.
I don't think Melo, he's not going to be a top 10 player. Like, you're not going to get an Olympic Melo back in the NBA. Unless he goes, do you think if he goes to Cleveland, will he be Olympic Melo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd have an elite point guard and James drawing all the attention.
Yeah. Yeah. And he would defer to James and he would, like, listen to James.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that it for emails? No, we have more emails. Please email nynixpodcast@gmail.com. For some reason, I don't know how people are finding it. We also have nba@thenewyorkknickspodcast.com. I don't post
probably
it anywhere.
It's probably on our website.
I guess.
How are people finding it? They look at our website.
I don't know, but we get emails there, and then it confuses me. Lorenzo writes, "Hey, guys, I have a theory that Knicks fans are the most happily married of all the fans in the NBA. We really only watch 2 months of basketball, November, December, taking time away from our families. Then by January, the team is screwed, so we no longer watch and we have a lot of free time. Meanwhile, Warriors fans have to watch from November through June, suckers." Thoughts?
Yeah, that's pretty. Except for the fact that I also watched the Mets also and the Jets.
He was just talking strictly basketball.
But yeah, no, that makes sense. It's a pretty good one. You never, yeah, like you've already lost. For the most part, by February, most Knicks fans have lost interest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I noticed that in our numbers too. Although they are helpful, hopeful fans, because I notice our numbers get a huge spike in like June and July when free agency is going on. So
I bet our numbers get a spike this episode after Charles Oakley gets tossed from the arena.
Probably, yeah. Rob writes, "I will never root, cheer, or favor the New York Knicks again. I hope the franchise goes bankrupt. How can you treat perhaps the greatest Knick ever in such a putrid manner while the most ineffective executive in the history of modern sports looks on as disgusting? I wish nothing but the worst for the Knicks from here on out. Perhaps Dolan should sell the team to Woody Johnson, who would do a much better job running MSG. May the demise of the Knicks be precipitated." Thank you, Rob.
I feel like, I feel like you can play a good drinking game, and maybe we should do it for the show, where you just go back and forth naming Knick disaster, Knick embarrassments. You could probably we could probably just ring them off. Just see how fast we can go without anyone pausing. Okay. Eddie Curry, $20 million doesn't play.
Isaiah Thomas, sexual scandal.
Charles Oakley getting kicked out of the arena.
Patrick Ewing never even getting an interview for a head coaching job.
Jeremy Lin Sanity happening, and then we let him go.
The most amazing backcourt of all time, starring Stevie franchise 5 years after he got washed up.
Noah, $72 million.
Jerome James, what was it, 3 years, $30 million?
Mello, no trade clause.
Trading 3 draft picks and 3 players for Bargnani.
Trading away a draft pick that turned out to be, who was the guy in the Bulls? Was it Noah?
Noah was a free agent.
No. The Bulls drafted. I think they might have drafted Noah with the draft pick they got from the Knicks. Or maybe it wasn't Noah. It was someone good. I screwed it up already. How about the fact that
We could have got, I think. No, it wasn't Tyson Chandler. It was Aldridge.
Aldridge, yes. This year being the first year since 2005, the Knicks have had both a first and second round pick. I have our own first and second round pick.
Right. Damn, I had one, and then I got distracted by helping out your Aldridge.
I guess it's a harder game than a...
No, we went on pretty long. I mean, most franchises don't have that long of a
I feel like we should be able to go on longer, though, with the Knicks.
I mean, we could go back and we can say not wanting to wait a year for Larry Bird, so drafting Michael Ray Richardson.
Yeah, letting Mark Jackson go way too early.
Trading Patrick Ewing instead of letting him retire Nick.
That was pretty bad. Larry Brown, 1 year.
I mean, you could say that for hiring Fisher to a 5-year contract with no experience.
Yes, that was pretty good. Actually contemplating giving the coaching job to Kurt Rambis.
Well, I mean, he was head coach for a little while.
No, I meant, well, he wasn't full-time. Like, he wasn't, like, permanent head coach. He was just, like, interim head coach.
Right.
Okay, I'll give you better. Taking the greatest coach, one of the greatest coaches of all time with 11 rings, and making him an embarrassment in New York.
having your owner go on radio to bash one of the greatest Knicks of all time.
giving up the entire franchise to get Melo. Not an embarrassment, but forget that one. Playoff time, one of your best players, Amari, punches the fire hydrant. Fire extinguisher.
Might as well have been a fire hydrant. This team's so ridiculous.
Also, playoff time, Amari during warm-ups tries to, like, dunk and, like, slaps the basket and, like, hurts his back. Injury will linger the rest of his career.
Having the most marketable player of the last 30 years on your team and telling him to go take any offer he wants and then getting mad when he does that.
We did Jeremy Lin already. Oh. Being so in love with J.R. Smith that you actually give a roster spot to his brother.
I can't top that one.
Trading away a sec. What was the second round draft pick we traded away for nothing that we just found out about?
Oh yeah, to
just to make a roster spot for
the guy that covered LeBron good once.
Yeah, whatever his name is. trading away Tyson Chandler, J.R. Smith, and Iman Shumpert, and getting almost nothing. Except for getting a player that we had then, Cozy Calderon, we then proceeded to have to figure out how to get rid of him. Who also we traded for to be our starting point guard, who later came out and said, I wasn't a starter anymore. I'm not sure why they traded for me. They wanted me as a starter.
Philip writes, say we land Lonzo Ball or Fultz somehow. Do you want him to play alongside Melo? Should the leadership he has exposed to be that of a ball-stopping guy who plays no D and really doesn't hustle at all? People say you can't rebuild in New York, but that's BS. After all the years seeing them try, I now do believe you can't build around Melo. The only time they were ever good was when Tyson Chandler and Shump played D hard enough to cover for the rest of the team.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that year, a bunch of guys played defense, though. It wasn't just them. I mean, Wallace, when he was healthy, played defense. Kmart later in the year played some great defense. They had a bunch of guys that played defense on that team.
I mean, I don't think Melo's going anywhere. It's just he's too hard to trade. He doesn't want to leave. So I would play him alongside them.
I mean, you have to if he's here. But you're a believer now that the trade's not happening?
It's not looking good.
Well, I mean, in fairness, a lot of stuff with Phil doesn't come out like in the media, like weeks. The only thing that came out of the media ahead of time really was the Noah and Rose stuff this summer. For the most part, like the Tyson Chandler trade was kind of out of nowhere. The Shumpert move and Jarrett move is out of nowhere. A lot of moves he makes aren't like really like they're kept under wraps until they come out. And obviously, like the stuff about him wanting to get rid of Melo has not been kept under wraps. But
yeah, no, I just feel like if we do make a trade, we're going to get swindled.
Well, I think
because he's killing his trade value.
There's a rumor that the Knicks are hoping they can get Isaiah Kanaan and Michael Gilchrist. Whatever. I still think the trade is going to happen.
Jody writes, "Hey fellas,
I I will make you a bet on the show. I bet you, whether it happens now or in the off season, I bet that starting next season, and then he will not be on the Knicks. How much do you want to bet?
Burger bet?
Sure.
Okay. Hey, fellas, is there a way Phil can trade James Dolan for, say, Mark Cuban? I'm sure we'd have to add, if only. Seriously, though, can someone influence start a petition to have Dolan sell the team? This Oakley situation is outrageous. What about citing Dolan as a competitive disadvantage to Adam Silver? Who is ever going to sign with the Knicks with this guy running the show? Successful franchises start from the top down, and this has to be the last guy any NBA fan wants owning their team. Thoughts?
Everything you said was accurate. Go on.
I mean, the only plus I could say about Dolan is he's willing to spend.
Yeah. That's the only plus. And, I mean, in fairness, it does seem like for Dolan that he's willing, if you have someone he respects, he's willing to get out of the way and just let that person run the show. It just happens to be that guy, Phil Jackson.
Yeah. So you can go to our website, thenewyorkknickspodcast.com. I know Stephen wrote a few really good comments under some of our posts. Eric is still writing game recaps. I'm doing the roster power rankings. And I believe tomorrow I'm going to come out with the this season's Knick Effect list.
Ooh.
We are... spoiler alert, we are on pace to break the record since I've been keeping track of this.
Which is it's a tough record to beat. So what was the record previous?
I believe 46.
And that was in a full game, a full season. You're saying we're on pace to drop 46 for the whole season.
We're close. We're in the high 20s. We might have hit 30 today. I mean, last game. Jokic might have been our 30th.
Okay. So Facebook, Rich writes, why even? So that was Rich's response to us doing a show anymore. I guess the idea of what's the point anymore. Justin writes, can we send Dolan to wherever the hell the Clippers sent Sterling? I understand Sterling made some racist comments. I don't remember exactly. What was Sterling's deal? He made some racist comments on a video that he didn't know he was being recorded, right?
Right.
I guess that's worse. But it's so much worse than what Dolan did, because Dolan knew he was being recorded on ESPN radio and made some outrageous comments.
Yeah, but he didn't make anything like offensive. It was outrageous and probably full of lies.
I mean, it was a little bit offensive to be like, say he's a dangerous possible alcoholic. I don't know. Like, this just seems like that's not good for the NBA. Peter writes, and I understand Sterling's worse, and I understand it's probably you're not going to take away Dolan's ownership. Peter writes, really? You need a question to discuss the Knicks? Ha, ha, ha. Gilm writes, I have a possible interpretation of Phil's tweet. Okay. The tweet was, Bleacher's ding almost rings the bell, but I learned you don't change the spot on a leopard with Michael Graham in my CBA days. I also love the fact that Phil, in that quote, he couldn't write D-A-Y-S. He had to do D-A-Z-E because he's hip.
He's so witty and cool.
He's cool. He's got a posse kind of guy. Could it be that he's not saying that Melo doesn't want it enough and that he tried to change him, etc., but that he knows that you can't change the personality of a player, so he never really tried to change Melo, whatever fire he has inside him? So Gillum's saying Phil brought back Melo and just never thought he'd even try. Like, he was just saying the article from Ding was saying that Phil tried to change Melo and it didn't work out. And so maybe he's saying Phil just never tried to change Melo. That doesn't make it seemed like Phil was trying to change Melo. I mean, he made those comments about him holding on the ball more.
And he referenced the guy who like had a issue with that back in the 70s or whatever.
Well, his reference is saying that he tried to change Michael Graham, this guy in the CBA, and he failed this guy.
Right. So he referenced like in a parallel situation. So if that's not what he was referring to, then he's...
Well, here's what Gilm's saying is that he's just saying that because Ding's article was saying that Phil tried to change him. And maybe Phil's responding that... I mean, it's also like this, like interpreting poetry, but terrible poetry. But he's saying that Ding is wrong. Phil learned his lesson from Michael Graham and wasn't trying to change Melo. But the only thing is I counter that by saying all the evidence otherwise was that Phil was trying to change Melo, make him more of a team player.
Right.
whatever. Anyway, you shouldn't. Gilliam also writes. Anyway, you shouldn't front office and coaching at. You shouldn't front office and coaching at least try to improve the players, including their motivation. If he'll actually try to change Melo, I don't see much wrong with it. The only thing I see wrong with this is the damn tweet. Alan writes, will Mark and his wife chant for Oakley tonight against the Nuggets? If not, the Celtics fans. If not, Celtic fan Jay, a better Knick fan. I definitely chanted for Oakley. My wife did not. And she was like the game. She was not into the game. But I chanted for Oakley and I chanted to fire Dolan. But we were so high up that I'm pretty sure no one heard us. Frank writes, last week, I believe the Knicks achieved embarrassment to dumpster fire status. What's worse than that? Had to edit this question, so we just beat the Spurs. How should I feel about that? Happy because we finally showed up, or mad because it took so long for the team to finally show up?
The Knicks are just a team of mixed emotions.
What do you think the locker room for the Spurs was afterwards? Do you think Popovich like lost his mind?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, this is like for the Spurs, this is probably like the worst part of the whole season.
This is their like rock bottom moment.
Yeah.
This is like you lost to a non NBA team. Yeah. You lost to basically a bunch of women. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kenny writes, is it more likely than that Melo gets dealt after the draft night with teams having more talent and disposable trade options once the new picks are known? So you think he's going to be traded more likely this summer or more likely before the trade deadline?
Summer.
Okay. But you don't think he's going to be traded at all? You think next season he's going to be on the Knicks?
Yeah. But I think it's more likely the offseason. But yeah, I think he's going to be on the Knicks.
Rainer writes, can I get a refund on my league pass as I haven't watched a Knicks game after Christmas for the last three seasons? I see a class action. Daniel writes, something to distract from the shower of shit that is on the court, Knicks. If the players had other occupations, what would they be? E.g., I can totally picture Kuz being one of the guys in the fancy bathrooms that offers you cologne and breath mints for a tip. Cock would be a barber. Ron Baker would obviously work in an ice cream parlor in a full striped uniform. That one's amazing. Anyway, thanks for the show. Anyone's to add, Jay?
You're welcome. No.
The Ron Baker one is pretty darn good.
Yeah, that was good.
I do think KP could work as a clown at kids' birthday parties. I don't know, his face, like, he just seems so happy. Like, you put him in clown makeup, he's really tall. I feel like he'd go over well.
Baker would be good as,
You're not gonna top ice cream parlor like full striped uniform. Like, yeah, don't even bother, Jay. You gotta pick someone else.
Okay.
Alex writes, thoughts on Dolan's interview with Michael Kay and Oakley's interview with Stephen A, if you heard them. We kind of went over those. Do you have anything to add from Oakley's side of the things?
No, I mean, he said he didn't do anything. He said he, like, gets followed by security even when he goes into the bathroom. And, like, I mean,
I wish I knew what the deal is. There's obviously like some major issue between him and Dolan, and they just whatever.
I mean, then he said he wouldn't shake his hand at the 2014 All-Star game, and Dolan said that never happened. Like, one of them is really just insane.
Alex writes, Dolan needs to switch up his insults, calling Oak an alcoholic like he did that season ticket holder since 52, two seasons ago. Do you remember that was when we left that, when we were going back and forth. You remember when he called out a Knicks fan and called him an alcoholic? Do you know anything, remember this?
Oh, yeah. He personally, like, responded to an email. We didn't even add that to our list of embarrassments.
So this old guy said, I've been a fan of 62. He went off on how bad the team has been. And instead of, like, apologizing for how bad the team is, he just called him and said, you probably have a problem with alcohol. I'm 21 years sober. And you start going for the Nets. Yeah. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
Derek writes, Jokic with a Knick effect. Ben writes, I've been following the Knicks religiously from the UK since the magical Eddie Curry years. I don't know how he could be a big fan after that.
Oh my god!
All I really got is, and he lived in like London. You could have just adopted a different team. All I really got is the 54 win season. I guess my question is, what the hell is wrong with me? I guess it's a pretty valid question, Ben.
I do give you props for not jumping ship, though.
Ben, I actually would really like to know, are you originally a New Yorker? Like, what made you a Knicks fan living in the UK? Like, what made you adopt the Knicks during the Eddie Curry years, which were a disaster? Like, how could you have adopted the Knicks in the last 10 years and not be – and not like, live in New York? Have, like that kind of reason.
Yeah.
So please, Ben, write us back and let us know. Anthony writes, is Phil gone yet? Well, we gone for 2 years. Apparently, he's going to be here for 2 more years.
Yeah, he's here to stay.
Unless he opts out. And do you see Phil opting out?
He has an opt out after this season. Would be interesting if he surprised everybody and just walked.
I'd be really surprised.
I don't think he's going to, but that would be interesting.
Because I feel like that would just like... I think he wants to end on a positive note here.
I mean, would you even be mad if he did, though?
No, I would be like, thank you. I mean, I'm a fan of him gone, so being gone. Anthony also writes, did Phil died already? That seems inappropriate. Chris writes, we need Dolan to get a run out of town like Sterling with the Clippers. How different would the team be with a fresh new ownership? Yeah. I'm down if them selling to Donald Trump at this point.
I mean, then we would get some serious free agents.
the latest travel ban says you're banned from these 7 countries unless you are like unless you're 6'11" and have a jump shot. Jeremy writes crowdfund to kidnap Dolan. Interesting. I guess, how much does it cost to buy the franchise? How much is the Knicks worth? $2 billion?
Might even have to go up to 3.
Jesus. Why can't he just cash out?
I know.
Andrew writes, because there's no crowd, there's no like 30, 20 million Knicks fans coming in, chipping in to even make this work out. Like, we're not all going to give $1,000 a piece.
That's the thing. The prices went up so much. Like, yeah, you'd have to have
You're not going to find 100 million Knicks fans. Like, this is not going to work out. The numbers, like, there's no way to crowdfund this to buy the team from Dolan.
You would have to have, like, if you got 1 million Knicks fans, even if it sold for $2 billion, you'd need $2,000 each.
The thing is, he's never going to sell the team because what were you going to tell him? You sell the team for $3 billion, but what do you do then? Like, you go start a rock band and go tour? He already does that.
Right.
You rich beyond belief? He already is. And what? You get insanely rich and you buy a sports franchise? Already has one. Like, what's the point? There's no benefit to him selling the team.
No. He's going to have that team until he pretty much dies, I would think.
Unless he has money issues where he needs the $3 billion or just needs, like, yeah, he always, like, his business, like, Cablevision starts failing, and now he needs money. I imagine, like financially, he's so set that like it's not going to make a difference in his life to sell the team. Like, his life will probably be worse by selling the team.
That's the problem. I mean, we can wish, we can pray. He has no incentive to sell the team. The fact that the Rangers are winning, and he said he's even more hands on with the Rangers, just makes the whole situation worse.
That part was amazing also in the interview because they said, like, you're not that hands-on, like, you let them – and he's like, no, I actually talk to those guys, and I actually, like, am a little more hands-on, and they're really good. But he also admitted on the show that, like, he's not a basketball person. He does not know enough about basketball to do this job.
Right.
I feel like you could – I know people would disagree, but I feel like you could win with Dolan. I mean, obviously the Rangers win with Dolan. They actually play pretty well with Dolan. It's just that he has to pick the right guy to hand the franchise over to.
Yeah.
So you have to hope in 2 years or whenever Phil leaves that he picks the right guy next.
Right.
Last question. Andrew writes, should we pretend we are playing the Spurs every game?
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have to. We always play up to the good teams and play down to the bad teams. This has been going on for a decade. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
It doesn't even make any sense. And we had a question that was posted on the wall.
You want to read it?
Yeah. It's from Slick. He writes, I think Phil wants to be fired because he still wants his money and knows he won't get it if he quits. Can someone please tally up the winning percentage of the seasons with Melo on the Knicks before Phil and after? I have a feeling they haven't improved at all and actually gotten worse. This Noah deal reminds me of the Eddie Curry deal. Somebody actually did post that. I don't remember the numbers, but it is much worse with after Phil.
Oh, I mean, they won 4 games before Phil. They were a playoff team before Phil.
Yeah, it was something like...
It's mind-boggling worse.
It was like it was 50 games above 500 without him and like 30 games below 500 with him. Something like that.
I mean, but you have like in this season, it's not even worth comparing because you have a 17-win season and the last 2 years have been disasters.
Yeah.
The more interesting one I saw recently was the Nuggets record and the Knicks record since the Melo trade.
Oh, yeah. Nuggets is better every year.
Nuggets are like 500, I think, since the trade. The Knicks are a bunch under.
And one more question from Slick. One more question. If you have a talented 7-3 rookie, why wouldn't you hire Kevin McHale? I never thought I'd see the day I want Dolan to interfere with what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, why hire one of the big men with one of the most post moves in the history of the game?
Do you think they're going to send... They seem like they're big fans of Olajuwon, which... is all respect to Kevin McHale. There's no issue with, like... Olajuwon's pretty good also, obviously. Yeah. You think they're going to send Hernan Gomez and Porzingis to... did they send Porzingis to Olajuwon camp last year? I don't remember. I remember them doing it with Amari.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
But I would be a big fan of them sending both Hernan Gomez and KP to Olajuwon camp.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. How in God's name does Spike Lee still sit here and watch these games?
I don't know.
He always looks... It's not only just like how he's a super fan and goes to every game and whatever. He looks insanely depressed every time they show him.
Yeah.
And with reason, but like I don't know how he forced himself to like sit through all this every time.
I don't know. That was my mind.
So anyway, if you're a free agent, are you coming to the Knicks?
Yeah, no way in hell. Well, it depends. If I am a guy who isn't like a top tier and I just want a paycheck, you go to the Knicks and you get paid.
Do you think Rose and Lee have like a Rose Lee, like Jennings and Melo off a little pool going, like see who's out of here first? Whoever gets traded first gets like the prize.
Oh, man.
I mean, who wants out of here the most? Because Melo does not want out of here.
Courtney Lee.
I think Courtney Lee. I agree with that. Because Melo, you don't. Do you think Melo wants to leave?
No.
No. Do you think Noah wants to leave?
No.
Yeah.
Isn't Noah from Queens?
I think so. I don't think Noah's like. I mean, he can't be that unhappy because he can be unhappy with his play, but he can't be unhappy with the Knicks because like he's part of the problem.
And he's getting filthy money.
Do you think Rose wants to leave?
I think Rose wants to go wherever he's getting the most money. I don't think he cares.
I think Rose wants to leave. I don't know. Rose does not seem very happy on this team anymore. But once I think he's convinced he's not getting the money from the Knicks, so that's why he wants to leave.
Right.
But you're right. I think if the Knicks offer him a bunch of money, he'll just stay.
Yeah.
Jennings?
I think Jennings wants to stay.
Yeah. So really just Lee.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, Lee is a perfect fit on a championship team. And he's 31. Like, he's running out of time. Like, I think he just wants to be in a better situation. I mean, it leaked that somebody in the locker room said, I didn't come here for this. I mean, who else could that be?
I mean, it could have been Rose.
No, Rose got traded.
I know, but Rose, like, has some belief that, like, he had some control over this. I don't know. Like, I heard some theory that, like, I know the quote you're talking about, that it could have been Rose because Rose still thought he kind of came. He was open to coming to New York, and it was said around the time that Rose was getting sat in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I still think it's Lee.
But Lee of all, like, he's one of the, he's the free agent that really bought into, I'm going to take a reasonable deal and come to New York because they want to play on a winner, more so than anyone else in this team.
Yeah.
You know, who's the last guy you feel like that took a reasonable deal to come to the Knicks because he thought the Knicks would be good?
Aflalo?
I don't know if Aflalo's getting that much more money anywhere else, but you can make that argument. Here's what I was thinking of. JR.
Yeah.
I think JR initially took a decent deal. Like he came to New York because he thought New York could be good.
Well, he was on the 54-win team.
Yeah, no. I mean, JR, the numbers, the Knicks were so much better with JR than without JR.
Yeah.
Okay, let's end the show.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next Sunday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can catch us live on Ustream if you want. Join the Facebook group. Join Twitter at NY Knicks Podcast. We post the links the day of the show. And I guess that's it. So, yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Hopefully next week is a better week. It should be interesting. The trade deadline is coming up quick, so maybe we'll have some moves. All right, see you next week.
This is the end. Say goodbye. You better go away. I'm gonna leave you. It's the end. Goodbye. Goodbye. Just leave me alone. Feels so good to say goodbye. I'm sick and tired and I'm saying goodbye. Goodbye, girl. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Everybody.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's opponents on Man versus Train. At the crossing, we have Rick, a 175-pound frustrated man who's running late for work. And on the tracks, we have Bull, a million-pound freight train that takes a mile to stop. Let's see who comes out on top.
You can't beat a train, so don't try. Stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.